Are you an HR department of one trying to figure out how to balance task and strategy while keeping up with changes in regulatory compliance? Do you need a fresh outlook on old topics? Then stop what you're doing, grab your coffee, and get ready to recharge. If you have people, you have problems to solve and things to do. Your host is Brenda Neckvottle, a 20-year human resource professional, ready to explore the HR industry with veterans of business and life with fresh eyes and new ideas. Learn about the rapidly evolving changes in employment law around the country, as well as new tactics to deploy and build engagement in your workforce. If you're looking to implement new practices to make your job easier in HR, then this podcast is for you.
Hey there, and welcome to the Best Practices in Human Resources podcast. I am Brenda, the HR lady, and I am excited to have you guys here. I'd like to thank you for listening to the show. If you are a returning listener, thank you so much for coming back for yet another episode. I know we've been a little spotty over the summer, but you know what? I've been doing this every week for almost 3 years, and this year I kind of had a lot going on, and you know what? We just kind of took a little bit of a little summer vacation, but that's okay. And if you're a first-time listener, welcome, welcome, welcome. There's a ton of episodes for you to go back and garner all sorts of juicy information, and you're probably wondering what it is that we do here. Well, I'm here to actually help share with you the strategic and the tactical HR knowledge so that you can master the what and how in this field. And I am in the human business, which means that there's a greater number of dynamics in the workplace to balance and manage, including yourself, which we've been doing a lot of look internally versus looking externally at all the stuff that we have to deal with. Because let's face it, it's so important that you guys take care of yourself so you can take care of everything else. All right. So if you like what you're hearing, I'm not sure how you found us, but you know what? If you are able to give us a 5-star review, you know what? That's how we get the algorithm working, is to actually review podcasts and give positive feedback so that other really great people who are looking for the information, like you guys are, to be able to jump in and be fruitful and successful. So if you want to become part of my VIP network, then I encourage you to jump into the HR resource site. It is actually a awesome, awesome little website that is designed to give you a ton of information that is updated. It wasn't going to come out smoothly. We'll just ride that wave. Updated on a regular basis. We've got awesome videos. We've got Motivational Monday now that is out there. There's over 100 articles at any given time that stream in for 70 different resources across the U.S., including one from Canada. And they talk about things that is like real-time comprehensive updates for different states. We've got access to current HR news in categories such as COVID, employment litigation, and legal updates, and collective bargaining agreements and unionization, as well as all the fun stuff involving affirmative action, EEO1 reporting, and OFCCP updates for government contractors, as well as disability. So, ton of good information out there that comes to you, because I am a proponent that if you're going to grow into this industry, you have to read on a regular basis. Even if you're just staying up with the flow and the large amount of information that is coming through, I sometimes just only have time to read the headlines, but at least I know what's going on, and I know I can actually go back and find the information if I need to. That's what this does for you guys, and I built this website actually because this is the kind of stuff that I wanted, like I was searching for when I was coming up through the ranks of HR and wished that was out there. And so if you capitalize on this, you're going to feel pretty good about the job that you're doing. You really, really will. If you capitalize it, if you are a traditional HR learner, which means that you're going to take in information and then you're going to apply it. If you do that, this type of website is totally going to support you moving forward. So that is the website. You go to BrendaTheHRLady.com, click on HR resources up at the top, and it's absolutely fantastic. So those of you know, I have a very good friend of mine by the name of Will Branham, and he's hopped on the podcast in the past, and he is the guy that helps produce the information on broad spectrum CBD through his company at Naked Warrior Recovery. And my goodness, the little man down there has just got something to say, doesn't it? It's incredible. Like, if you haven't explored the benefits of utilizing CBD, and of course you really need to consult your physician before you do, definitely take a listen to his episode. It's episode 78 of this show. And if you're interested, you can get 20% off on your first order by nw-recovery.com, because we don't want anybody typing in naked in their search engine, especially at work. And use the code NAKEDHR. You will go ahead and you're going to enjoy it. Matter of fact, you're going to laugh when I tell you this. This is a total funny sidebar. Didn't even plan this as part of the podcast. But Will also has these shirts and hats and apparel. You know, it says get naked on it, right? I made the mistake of wearing that a little while ago. And I'm like, oh, this is cool. I'm going to go ahead and support Will. So I wore my naked, get naked shirt. Oh my gosh, to a public venue. And man, I had all kinds of wives giving me stink face. It was really funny. And I had so many guys coming up to him like, dude, it is not what you think. Trust me. No, anyway, so he test it out. Yeah, that's his philosophy. And get naked isn't about stripping down and getting, see, I'm in the South, so it's not naked, it's naked, right? So it's not about stripping down and getting naked, which means that you don't have any clothes on and you're up to something. Get naked is all about really overcoming your barriers. And he's got an awesome philosophy on it. I absolutely love it. So check it out over at nw-recovery.com. And then, you know what? Our friends over at Forest Capital Management, they are an independent financial advisory firm that actually helps small and medium-sized businesses with their retirement plans. And your company retirement plan is instrumental to you, to your success of your employees at work. And they actually are really great at helping plan sponsors like yourself that have 401ks, 403bs, and pensions that are designed and operated in a way that they can help maximize the success for your employees, because that's critical. So if you're interested, hit them up. Go ahead and reach out to them over at forestcapitalmanagement.com. Again, that's forestcapitalmanagement.com.
There are approximately 2,500 members of the U.S. Special Operations community who transition out of active duty military service every single year. The Honor Foundation has dedicated its mission to serving these elite individuals on their journey to prepare for life once they take off the uniform. In the past few years, we've begun our own journey to reach this number, launching 3 physical campuses in San Diego, California, Virginia Beach, Virginia, and near Wilmington, North Carolina, along with a virtual campus to reach members of the community anywhere on the planet. I spent 26 years in the Special Operations community as a SEAL. I graduated from THS program, I served on the board of directors, and now I'm proud to lead this organization into the future to continue assisting these transitioning service members and their families. Our dedicated team, our world-class program, and our incredible tribes of supporters are standing by to help THF alumni and future fellows, and are committed to providing the best possible support system and resources to better serve this community. Our vision for the Honor Foundation is clear: to impact every transitioning service member from the U.S. Special Operations Enterprise through our programs and support, and to be a catalyst for overhauling the entire DoD transition program. It's a big task, but the community deserves it, and we're driving full steam ahead to make this a reality. If you've been inspired with what the Honor Foundation's done in the last 5 years, I welcome you all to join us as we craft the next chapter in defining what it means to serve others with honor for life.
Now, there's quite a few of us that focus in on the wrong thing. And you know what? It's totally normal. It's completely normal. It's just who we are as human beings. And today I want to talk to you about how to make a shift that's going to work for you and actually get you to focus in. I wouldn't call them the right things, but get you focused in on whatever it is that's going to allow you to move forward and be a huge success. And believe it or not, it's your story. You're probably sitting here thinking, oh, Lord, I don't want to think about my story. Who wants to hear my story? Who wants to think about my story? I have nothing to share that is worth a value. And you know how many people think that way? And you know how many people have actually overcome that line of thought? I'm going to tell you, anybody that has ever written a book has overcome that mindset. Seriously, think about it, right? Think about that for a second. If you were to sit down, somebody say, well, you should write a book about that. What's the first thing that comes to your mind? You're like, who is going to want to read that? Everybody does it. But you know what? It's kind of like, it's that lack of self-efficacy. It's that lack of having the conviction that what you bring to the table means something. And when that happens, you start getting into that mindset of, I have nothing to bring to the table, which is, by the way, normal. It's not something that just shows up. It's been there. It's been there for a long time. You have to find a way to defeat that voice, because that's the voice that shows up, that scarcity little twit, right? That little bugger shows up every time we run into a challenge. Every single time we run into a challenge, that little thing, that little twit, pops up and starts saying, what makes you think you can do this? What makes you think that you have value? What makes you think that you're worth something? What makes you think that you're smart enough to do this? What the hell were you thinking when you took this job? You don't know what you're doing. That little twit has a tendency to pop in at the worst possible moment. And so therefore, we tend to disregard our story. We all come from backgrounds. We all have a background. We all have a history. Some people's history is totally vanilla, right? Great family, no real major, you know, significant challenges. Like, nobody was a troublemaker, you know, just average. You come in across problems in life. Of course, everybody has them. But nothing, like, colossal or catastrophic. There's people are out there. I'm not one of them. I'll tell you, but I run into them every now and again. Or we perceive people as having that life. That's really easy to do. Right? When we compare our behind the scenes to everybody else's highlight reels, we tend to formulate the story that something is, but it really isn't. It's all in our head. And that little twit is actually that little conductor in front of the orchestra making the music happen. I think I just gave that side of my ego a name, the twit. How fun is that? That's pretty cool. But anyway, he tends to crop up and wreaks havoc in your brain. And then we start believing things that aren't true. What's worse is that that little twit tends to help you not remember stuff that you've done that promotes your growth, that promotes moving forward, having a cemented proper mindset, is you can work on building a mindset and all of a sudden it's derailed. And all that comes from your background, right? How you see the world. So like I was saying, there are people that come from, you know, you could have a vanilla background. You can come from a background where it was totally upside down, right? You may have grown up in a very poor neighborhood. You didn't have a lot to eat. I remember one time watching an interview with Della Reese. Della Reese has since passed away. Just an amazing actress.
in the black community. She was great. She was always my favorite. Loved when Della Reese was on. She was awesome. But I remember Della Reese having an interview. I can't remember with who it was with. But she was talking about as she was a kid that they were so poor. And look how far she got. She was so poor that her mother, when they didn't have anything to eat, would actually take mayonnaise and coat lettuce in it. And that was their meal. And while she was doing it, she would talk to her children and she would tell Della Reese these stories. You know, she would actually make dinner meaningful when dinner didn't have enough substance to keep them healthy. There are people in this industry who have that experience or something similar to it. There are people who have had never had a lack for money a day in their life and yet never got the kind, loving support that they needed growing up. There's people with all kinds of backgrounds. There are people out there in this industry and in this field of business who will never get out of their own way. How awful is that? Can you imagine never growing, never developing beyond what your current capabilities are? Just being stuck? I'm not talking about people who aren't pursuing a career in HR, who aren't pursuing like a promotion or something like that. That's not who I'm talking about. I'm talking about people that will never have the courage to take a look at who they are or how they're being and make a change that benefits them from the long haul. But you see, that's not you, because you're listening to this podcast right now. And you are already miles ahead of people who are not willing to do what it takes to move forward. That, my love, is part of your story right there. And you need to start with that. You're like, okay, well, can you give me the secret and the trick? Yeah, I'd be happy to. That's where you need to start. You need to start looking at all the adversity that you've overcome in your life. And if you're feeling down in the dumps, if you're feeling frustrated, if you're feeling lost, if you feel like you're falling behind, if you feel like you just freaking can't get ahead, go back and start journaling the things that you have overcome. Not the big things only, but include the little things. Right? It could be not eating a McDonald's hot fudge sundae every day. That for some people, that's a big thing to overcome. It could be getting, you know, out from underneath just this massive project that totally blew up on you and you don't really think that you've got the confidence to do it, or you know you don't have the confidence to do it, but you somehow found the way to do it. You start looking at what you've accomplished, not what you've accomplished, what you've overcome. Yes, look at what you've accomplished. But if you only look at what you've accomplished, it overshadows what you've overcome. Because what you overcome is way harder than what you've accomplished. When you're on track to accomplish something, you're feeling good. Man, you're in the groove, right? You're vibing. Everything coming at you is fire, right? You're accomplishing something because you're moving forward. That's not overcoming. Overcoming is getting out from underneath something. You could have had an employee that all of a sudden accuses you of doing something that you didn't do. And next thing you know, man, you are trembling in your skin, wondering how you're going to get through this. All the things, all that work that you've put into your life to develop who you are will help you overcome, and it'll help you come out from underneath that rock to the point where you're either sitting on top of it or standing over it. That's part of your story. Your story. Your story. What you've done. How you did it. You think about, oh man, I'm really going to date myself. For those Gen Xers and baby boomers, because we do have a couple baby boomers that listen to this, but Gen Xers, do you remember on Saturday mornings after cartoons, like about, I don't know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, kind of depending where you are in the United States? First off, let me help you understand something. Cartoons started at 5 o'clock in the morning. And it started with cartoons like Dudley Do-Right. There was some penguin guy that was on there. I remember him. And the three-dimensional blackboard. what else? Dudley Do-Right. Bullwinkle. Rocky and Bullwinkle. And then gradually we got into the three-hour marathon of nothing but Looney Tunes cartoons, which I was all about. It was Hanna-Barbera. I mean, big cartoon players in the field, right? All right. After all of that fun stuff, right, then, like, that was the kids' morning. Then TV belonged to your parents after that. 2 o'clock-ish in the afternoon, the wild world of sports. And do you remember the beginning of that announcement and how they talked about the agony of defeat? If I can throw the soundbite into this, I will, I promise. The agony of defeat. I have never forgotten that phrase. Because being defeated is painful. It hurts. You may not necessarily be in a half body cast because you just totally wiped out, you know, on some ski slope. But let me tell you something emotionally. The agony of defeat hurts. And it takes a heck of a lot to get out from underneath that. Defeat and disappointment are just a few degrees off in this industry because we are so emotionally invested in what we do. And we have to be because there's this empathy thing that we have to deal with. But what that show never, ever, ever displayed is like Howard Cosell who hosted it. What they never talked about was once an athlete wiped out, I mean, had a horrible wipeout, they never came back and actually told the story of how that person overcame it. Imagine being in HR, being on television, being publicly displayed, right? You're exposed. I mean, not lawfully, like a lot of the stuff I talk about. I'm talking about you're visible. You feel that exposure. It's tangible, right? And something happens, and all of a sudden, you feel that agony of defeat, now all of a sudden, that's exposed, just like in the wild world of sports. People are going, oh, look at that. Oh, that's horrible. They're never going to recover from that wipeout. And you're left silently alone, out of the spotlight, away from all the action to deal with that moment. And you find a way to come out from underneath it and either sit on top of it or stand over it. Whatever you feel like, whatever's in your mind, right? I tend to stand on it. When something ticks me off and I overcome it, then I sit on it. Right? It's my alpha coming out. But that becomes part of your story. So the whole point of today is understand that your story is going to have an ending to it at some point. And you can either focus in on the negative that you're existing in day to day, or can you imagine the story that you can tell when you're in the moment of trying to overcome and get out from underneath it? holy cow, if that doesn't start turning your thought process around, I don't know what will. And it's hard because when you're in a highly emotional state, can you imagine the story that you get to tell through everything that you have overcome? You've overcome being an HR person of one, maybe. You've overcome maybe being an HR person of two. You may have overcome being somebody who, you know, HR pro who works in a vacuum and can't seem to get people on the same page. You may be an HR professional who's overcome herself and all the things that you didn't believe that you were capable of doing. What a story that would make, right? So what, you know, think about all the other stuff. Like you had this one employee that all of a sudden did all this stuff and you had to work with the employment attorneys and you got to have a seat at the table and you were convincing the COO and the CEO and the CIO and the CFO of actions moving forward. That was you. Nobody else. You. You did that. What about the time when you sat there and all of a sudden this like massive amount of nothing but pure genius came flying out of your mouth and you have no idea where the hell it came from? Have you ever had that moment? It's like you say something in the most profound moment and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, what was that? I do that. Thank goodness. Because I don't want it to go the other way. I don't want to try and overcome and bury myself deeper into the ground. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for it to overcome and stand on top of it and stand over it. Right? Imagine that time when you just don't see an end to freaking COVID. Imagine what that story is going to be 5 years down the road. So when you're trying to overcome stuff, imagine the story you get to tell. Because the story you get to tell, and you get to make it up, by the way. That's the cool part. When you start thinking about the story you're about ready to tell, you get to be the author. You're not reporting on the past. When you tell your story, you're talking about what you did, the action you took, the kinetic movement forward. That's not being stuck under a rock. That's not being stuck. That's overcoming. Imagine the story you get to tell. Imagine the story you get to tell somebody who doesn't believe in themselves. And you get to talk about the things that you did to excel. Can you imagine the kind of difference that you might make in somebody's world by doing something like that, including your own? You deserve a life full of happiness and positivity. So don't let your circumstance get to you. Believe in yourself. Because that becomes part of your story. And one day, you're going to be living the life that you once dreamed of. Because you now have it in you to move forward. Not just sitting there hoping for the best and waiting for circumstances to come at you. Life happens for you, not to you. It's what you do with it that makes you move forward. Celebrate those small wins because small wins build that momentum. And I promise you, when you're talking about your story, that next chapter is going to cause some people to wish that they had treated you better. That one I love. Sorry, I do. And I've had those people run into me and they see what I've done. They see what I've accomplished. And every single one of them doubted me, told me I didn't know what I was doing or that I was crazy or I was just being excessive or unrealistic. And you know what? I overcame all of that by constantly staying in motion. And I'm going to promise you, there were days I did not believe in myself, and that, I can tell you, still exists within the last 3 years. But the more I stayed in motion, the more I proved to myself that I was able to do it. And therefore, guess what? Became part of my story. Hugely part of my story. It's so awesome. But it starts with you not being afraid of your story. Your story is you. It's yours. Nobody can take it away from you. It's not better or worse than anybody else's, although there are people that do have pretty crappy circumstances in this world. But you know what? They have stories too. We have people that are living in suppressed countries right now. And their stories are vastly different based off of the circumstances, and we can't change that. We can focus, you know, if we focus in on it, then we're probably just going to get very frustrated. But you know what? You're here right now in the present, living, breathing, eating, spending money, and sharing time with the people that you care about. Part of your story. Your story is your story. Now, why do I talk about your story? I talk about your story for a couple of reasons. Number one, first and foremost, it's important to embrace who you are. It's important to embrace how you got through all your challenges. And it's important to embrace the challenges that you have not yet gotten through, or your story about them. Because those things are okay. It's perfectly okay to struggle and find the success in things. I personally don't like it. I just tell you right now. I know my ego really well. And my ego does not like going through the hard. I'm good at it. But that does not mean, or it does not equate to enjoying it. I don't like the hard. But when I embrace the hard, it's not a matter of whether I like it or not. It's a matter of, how fast can I get through it so I'm on the other side? Because when I'm on the other side, I turn around. Now I've got something to add to my story that I overcame. And that's a pretty cool thing to have, that story. So your story is important. Your story is important because now when you're looking to grow and improve and maybe take that next career step, you've got something that you can talk about. You have something that you can talk to. Your experience. Right? I know people in this industry who have job hopped every 6 to 8 months. And I'm going to tell you right now, they are nowhere near as experienced as somebody who sits in that seat for 2 years at a minimum, taking everything that's dished out at them, to be able to turn around and make a successful story happen, or a more successful story happen. I would highly question anybody in HR who job hops every 6 to 8 months. There's no commitment. It takes easily a good, 18 months just to get settled into the role. And it'll take 3 years to be highly proficient at it. Just saying, if you're going through that change, there's a handy little tip. But now you have something that you can actually speak to, right? And if you're not writing that stuff down, I mean, it's one thing to document what you need to do for HR, right? That's different. Document the situations, document the circumstances. Yes, you need to do that. But if you're not actually journaling what you're running into, you're missing a golden opportunity. So the other, and I say this because a little while ago, I got an email from somebody who was very frustrated. And she wrote, I'm the HR person and I mostly do payroll in my company. How is it that I can get a job and advance in HR if I have nothing behind me? And I'll be honest with you, I haven't even responded to her just yet. And I got that a little while ago. And the reason why I didn't respond to her just yet is because I was planning on something coming out. And it hits 1st of September. And you can find it over on Amazon.com. So if you Google Brenda the HR Lady, I've got a way for you to track your stories and use it to build your resume, to build your self-confidence, to build your future. And it's all based on your story and your path. Now, it's something that I've been using for years, and I retweaked it and adapted it for you guys. But it's called a victory journal. And if you were a participant in one of the courses that Suzanne Lucas and I were on, moving around across the United States and talking about in July of this year, I spoke of the victory journal, and I got into really deep details as to how to actually create one and use it. And I thought, wow, man, how awesome would that be if there was a victory journal that anybody could use, right? And what I put together is mostly for HR people. It's very pink. I'm just telling you, if you bought the book, it's the same color as the book. Very pink. But it is there for you guys to take advantage of. And so the victory journal, in the beginning of it, has a Q&A assessment that's for you to figure out what it is that you actually want. Because if you don't know what it is you want, you're not going to be able to move forward, right? You're just going to, it's like fly fishing and just throwing a bobber at the end of a fishing rod and hoping for the best with no real bait. So the victory journal is designed for you that when you have a victory or you have something that you've overcome, you document it. And every entry, there's like 42 entries in it, and it'll ask you a couple of different questions. And they're specific questions, questions for a reason. It'll ask you like how you felt about a certain situation. That's important to put that down. Be raw with yourself. This is not something you keep at work. I'm just telling you right now, don't do that. This is something you keep at home in your home office or somewhere where nobody's going to find it. That's work related, right? You don't want this stuff getting out, right? It could be like, I'll give you an example. One of the things that I wrote about in my victory journal, and I the exercise that I did that made me start writing about this stuff is I took a look back at some of the really dumb things that some of my bosses said. I mean, like colossally stupid things that I've heard. And usually those colossally stupid things that I've heard happen when a boss is in the heat of the moment, right? Because you know what it's like? People get angry. They say stuff that they regret. They do it all the time. And I focused in on the colossally stupid things that kept popping up. And the things, and like the ones that really bothered me, like super bothered me. In other words, that took my ethics and plucked it like a chord on a violin. Just boop. No. And I wrote about them. And I wrote about how I overcame it. And in one circumstance, I actually left the job. I will probably never share that story publicly as to what was said, because it's pretty bad. But it was a precursor of things to come. It was a precursor of me losing ground on my ethics. And that's where I draw the line. And so I wrote about it. And I asked myself the very same questions that I put in the victory journal. And it wasn't so much as like, how do you feel? What did you do to get over it? It's more like, why did you see this as an opportunity? I made it go way deeper than just surface level Dear Diary documenting stuff, right? Or journaling. I asked specific questions to help me process and move and get out from underneath it. Because it did. It bothered me for a very, very long time. So victory journal has a tendency to do that stuff if you use it in that way. If you just want to use it to, you know, document your experiences, so that way when it goes time to write your resume, because you're going to not remember things. It's not that you forget, you just forget to remember them. Because every now and again, I'll run across something that, you know, I designed, that I, you know, designed at home and then brought to work. And I'm looking like, oh my gosh, I totally forgot about that situation. right? It's a good learning curve. See, it may not mean something in the moment, but it could mean something for you in the future. So if you go to Amazon.com, like I said, you can search for me, Brenda the HR Lady, and you can find your copy of the Victory Journal. It's pretty cool. And it can last your entire HR career. Or if you are a prolific journaler, man, you can crunch through that thing in 3 to 6 months with all of your experience that you're, you know, drinking from a fire hose on. And that's great, too, because you get an opportunity to actually put down what you experienced in the moment, get it down, and then that way, when you run into something again in the future, or, you know, you want to take that next step, or you want to level up to the next step, now you got something to go back and review. And I'll tell you what, everybody that I talked to about this victory, when I mentioned this victory journal, everybody leaned in. They're like, yeah, we want to know more about that. What is that? That just sounds great. And so what I did is I just started putting things together that I got really, that I got opportunities for. And so I looked at my opportunities and then I wrote about them. I would get emails and, you know, I'd stick them in a binder, or I'd get kudos and I'd stick that into a binder. I had some project stuff that I completed or I was involved in. I stuck it in a binder, right? And then every now and again, I would write about it. But actually, the ones that I would write about, I would wait until I was no longer in the job, because I did used to bring him that binder to, for my reviews and talking to my boss. So the Victory Journal is just specifically for you. It's a place for you to write down your experiences, write down, talk about how you feel about them, how you got past them, how you came out to be the champion in all of this. And it's liberating. It really is liberating, because when you look back at what you've accomplished, it does tend to build your strength for the future. And it's your story, and nobody can take that away. Nobody can take your story away from you. No one. So embrace it. Be proud of it. Yeah, there may be stuff in there that you're not really crazy about, but you know what? Be proud of your story. Be proud of what you had to go through to get to the person that you like being. And if you don't like the person that you're looking at in the mirror, that's your story. You can change that. Change the narrative of why. Turn it around. Find the way to make yourself move forward. Like, really, you can be honest with yourself. You can be honest with yourself like nobody else. Call yourself out on your own BS and make that part of your story. Because if you don't call yourself out on your own BS, or accept the own, you know, the fact that you're doing things that aren't in your best benefit, somebody else says something to you, you're not going to buy into it. You know, like, oh, you're just being a jackass. Or that person's just being a bitch. I mean, it's like, listen, you know that happens in your head. But when you get real, I mean, you get really real about your emotions, your decisions, your actions, your mindset, the things that you're engaging in or not engaging in, the decisions that you make or don't make. When you do that for yourself, you're being your best friend. You know how they say, love yourself first. That's how you do it. I've never really understood that. How do you love yourself? How do you love yourself first? You know, there's no manual on it. At least not one that I've seen. Other than a bunch of psychobabble that doesn't make any sense. It's like, well, at least if it, I'll put it this way. Psychobabble that doesn't make sense to me is not stuff that works for me. I'll just put it that way. If something makes sense to me and I embrace it and I engage in it, that's no longer psychobabble. That's just like a gem. It's a knowledge bomb that I needed. But if things don't make sense to me, I mean, a long time ago, I was curious about something, and I'm really going to get real here. All right. I can't sit here and talk about being real with yourself. Open up, you know, slightly peek underneath that little lid of this box I'm about ready to open, and then suddenly close it so you have no idea what I'm talking about. Not cool. So I'm going to tell you the story. Long time ago, I've been single for a very long time. And so in my 30s, I was really frustrated about being single. And so I thought, well, I wonder if there's something wrong with me. Now, this is really before, when I was about 38, I took on this big me project, and I really honestly haven't stopped. And so this was before that. This was like, I was about 35, 36 years old. And I was curious. I'm like, you know, I wonder if I need counseling because I must be doing something wrong and I'm not meeting the right person. And so I wound up talking to, a counselor on the phone. I was just curious about what, you know, her process. And so she goes, well, what brings you here? And I said, well, I said, you know, I've been single for a long time and I, you know, I'm not sure if I have any, I don't really know. I'm just trying to figure it out. And you know what? Before she asked me any questions, before she, literally, she had like no background. Immediately she says, well, I think you're trying too hard. I'm like, well, how the hell do you know that? You know, to me, that was psychobabble. It's like, you didn't even get it. You didn't even spend 5 seconds, literally 5 seconds, trying to figure out what is going on, right? Can you imagine going up to your boss and your boss saying, hey, listen, we've got this problem with this person. And all of a sudden you immediately come out with an answer, but you have done zero research or zero understanding. Your boss is going to look at you like you're wearing 3 heads, right? So anyway, so that's to me, that's psychobabble. When somebody gives you an opinion without having any context of your background in trying to make things better. But anyways, I digress. Yes, that's part of my story. But go back to writing your story. You know, you don't have to go all the way back. Look, if you read my book, and if this is your first time listening, I wrote a book. It's available on Amazon.com. Available on my website at brenda@hrlady.com. It's called Best Practices in Human Resources, How to Claw Your Way from Wannabe to VP. I actually talked about my story. I shared with you my story. I didn't share with you all of my story, but enough to where you could get a sense of who I am and how I came up in this industry and what some of my past was. And then towards the back end of it, I started talking about the things that I actually did. And then I shared with you my philosophies on HR leadership. So that's a story. That's my story. Nobody can take that away from me. You can burn all of those books. I wouldn't want you to because I signed a lot of them, but I signed every one of them, actually. But, you know, I don't want you to, nobody can take that away from me. It's mine. And I own it and I embrace it. And trust me, there are things in that, but there's things in my story I am not proud of. I am not happy about. But every one of them, and two of them I'm still working on. You know what? I've done things to make myself better. That's my story. And when somebody tells me that I can't do something, I look at them and I'm like, you're nuts. Because you have no idea what I've accomplished. And when you tell me I can't do something, look out. Because here I come. And if you don't believe me, read my book, because I'm coming after it. If it's something I want to do, something I'm passionate about, you tell me I can't do it, I am going to step over you and leave such a deep wake between the two of us. Because that's my story. My story has reinforced for me that I can accomplish anything, anything, especially when it's important to me. So instead of looking at the things that make you frustrated and sad, think about the story of how you overcame it and just crushed it.